We again extend Christian greetings to each one. I must say that I have been blessed in the service so far, and thank God for the privilege of being here and being a part of His church. I first of all would like to extend a happy Father's Day to all the fathers here, grandfathers, and some even great-grandfathers. And today, for what I would like to share, I will probably be talking mostly to the father's side of the house. And some of you boys who are not fathers yet, listen well. You may be fathers someday. And I say listen well, not because it's me up here talking, but allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. Today, you will probably not be very blessed if you just listen to just what I have to say. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart, along with what is shared, I hope and trust that we can all receive a blessing from God. If God is not in it, it's not worth being here. But mostly today, I would like to talk to the father's side of the house, and everyone else may listen in. How can I be a successful father? In studying for this message, I am just about appalled about how much I have messed up as a father in our home. Just being honest. And the field that I was studying in is so vast. And today I'm just going to touch on a few things. I would like to start out reading some in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through 18. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 through 18. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. How to be a successful father does not start when you become a dad. It starts at a very young age. And I've heard it said that parents should pray for their children before they're born. And I fully support that. And the building blocks that our parents instill in us as children are so critically important, because as we as little children grow up and establish that in our lives, it becomes a part of us. And it has a lot to do with whether we will be a successful father someday, if God should ever call us into that place. Children start out being infants, babies, and then infants, and then children. They grow older. They become adults, young adults. And the way parents relate to children needs to change along as children enter into different stages of life in how we relate to them. But I would like to touch a few other scriptures in Proverbs. Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Proverbs 19:18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. 22:15 in Proverbs. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. We as fathers and mothers have a responsibility in teaching and training our children. You know, it takes children probably longer than about any other species to go from being born till they're of age, turned out on their own to make a living, to make their way in life. But in looking back, once they get there and look back, the time is very short. And looking back at my own thing of making a living, raising a family, I messed up so many times. And one of the biggest points that are so important, and that is, how do you relate to your child when that child messes up? That is one of the biggest points that I would like to make today. I had the privilege, Polly and I did, of being at a wedding in Monticello, Kentucky. We heard a wonderful message, and in that message it was stated that how you ladies relate to your husbands when he messes up will make or break him. Same thing is true how the men relate to their women when they mess up will make or break them. And the same thing is true with our children. When they mess up, are disobedient, how we relate to them is critically important. A lot of children in the world today suffer severe emotional damage because of parents relating in a wrong way when they mess up. I would like to read in Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Colossians 3:21 would say, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And I would like to talk to you children who are underage. I hope that you can give your parents grace. I have an idea that your parents are doing the very best that they know in how they are trying to teach and train you children. Because I will tell you, if the time ever comes that God blesses you and you have families of your own, having a successful Christian home is not anywhere near as easy as you think. See, before you're married, you think that, well, if a child is naughty, you mete out punishment, and the child learns that the punishment makes it that it's not worth being naughty, and then the child will behave itself if you punish it enough. But when your children come along, it just doesn't always work that way. Children are all different. What works for one child does not necessarily work for the other. And parents need to learn those things as they go along. And then when your children grow into the next stage of life, you start going to school, more responsibility is added to you. Parents need to meet that out, know how to meter that out. And it is so important for parents to be in tune with God and His Holy Spirit, get their directions from Him. And I don't want to throw away, there's also a value in asking advice. But sometimes that the advice that you get is something that works for the person who gave the advice, but it's not saying that that is going to work for you in your home. Something that is very important for you, fathers especially, and that is that you're genuine in how you relate to your children. Whether you mete out punishment or implement rules for your home, your children will know very quickly whether this is from you or from somebody else controlling you. Children can read us a whole lot more than we think. A whole lot more. I would like to look at Luke chapter 15. An account that you're very familiar with, but I would like to read this account and then come back and see what the Lord has for us in this account of the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 32. And this is Jesus here talking, teaching. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now the elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. I would like to go back and make a few points here. One thing that I would like to take note, I am going to look at this, and I hope that we all can, that this father was relating to these two sons as adults. When the younger son asked for his portion of goods, we don't read here that the father tried to talk him out of it. You see, we as fathers have, from the time our children are born till they're of age, to teach and to train our children. When they get up into adults to the age of accountability, we need to try to transfer them being accountable to us to also being accountable to God. And hopefully, God helping us, by the time they are of age, they will have done that and know how to get their direction from God, how to get their direction from His bride, the church. And they get that by looking at the example that we leave them. The example that we give them will speak a whole lot louder to them than any words we can say. I am convinced in my mind in reading this account that this father had spent a large part of his time teaching and training his sons. And now when his younger son was here making a bad choice, he asked his father to divide to him now the portion of goods that belonged to him. And the father did so. He was relating to his sons now as adults, as equals. And it says not many days after that, and I would like to share this with some of you younger youth. Sometimes when you are making a good salary with the wages that you get and the work you do, you might think, man, it looks like I've got a lot of money in my bank account. But it is really amazing how quickly that can be totally gone and dried up. So quickly. And some of the choices that you make, you will have to live with for the rest of your life. Just one little careless act of spending money that you don't have with the credit cards that we have, that's very easy to do. And it's a big temptation for young people to think that, oh, I can easily pay that next month with next month's check. But you know, next month comes around and money just has an easy way of slipping away somehow if you don't keep track. I would encourage you to really keep track where your money goes. Be a good steward of what God entrusts to you. This young man, he probably got a pretty big pile of money and it looked really big to him, but it says he wasted it with riotous living. In the later part of the chapter here, The elder brother says he wasted it on harlots. So he had a very wild, sowed a lot of wild oats, the way this sounds. And again, when this son made this bad choice to go out there and do that, we do not read here that the father tried to tell him to not do it. I think this father knew that he had already had his say. This son went out and he sowed his wild oats. But all of a sudden he was made aware that his money was gone. I have an idea that he was very careless in keeping record of where he was spending his money. Very careless. And one day when he came and looked for more money, it was gone. And so he started looking around. And the people that he thought were his friends were gone, as was his money. They were not really true friends. I would like to read, ask the question, what is the Holy Spirit's job? John 16, verse 8. Jesus here is talking about him going away and sending the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus says, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He will reprove the world of sin. Holy Spirit's job. Too many times we think that's our job. I look at myself, and I'll just say this in an honest way. I thought it was my job to tell my children when they mess up. When this younger boy came to out of money, and he was out there, he finally found a job with a hog farmer, and he was out there and wishing that he could eat some of the stuff that the pigs were eating. The Holy Spirit started working in his life. He started thinking to himself about how things were at home. He said, even the servants that are working for his dad have plenty. Holy Spirit was working in his life, and he works in our lives today. And I would care to share that when us who are children of God, who have been born again, when you mess up, sisters, when your husband messes up, they know it. And husbands, when your wives mess up, they know it. So many times we think we still have to tell them. And we can do a lot of damage in a short time. It is so important how we as fathers relate to our children when they mess up. And I'd like to draw a few points here. This father saw his son coming when he was a way off. And it says here he had compassion. He ran to meet him. He fell on his neck and he kissed him. You know, how many of us, I have to wonder, would first have to check out to see if this son is sorry? See, this father, he had compassion. He loved him. He accepted him, and he didn't first ask him if he was sorry for what he had done. We do not read that he even scolded him for what he had done. But the son on his own said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. This was the Holy Spirit working in this son's life. Let's drop down to verse 22. Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. This young man was working with hogs. I have an idea that this young man was dirty, unkempt. Father said, put the best clothes on him, put shoes on his feet. He said, put a ring on his finger. The ring on his finger, that shows me acceptance. He wanted everybody to see that this is my son. Have you ever been ashamed of your children? You know, it has been said that children a lot of time embarrass their parents. But when the children grow up and the parents get old, then sometimes the parents embarrass the children. Have you ever been embarrassed about your child because he didn't perform? If I'm embarrassed of any one of my children being my child, I have to wonder if the Lord is going to be embarrassed about me too sometime. He wanted them to put a ring on his finger. He wanted people to see that this is my son. That shows acceptance. I'd like to look at the elder son. He had such a different focus and a different view. And he saw all the merrymaking that was going on at the house, and instead of going in and checking it out, being happy, he sent a servant in to find out what's going on. And the servant came out and told him. And look at how focused that this man was on the evil that his brother was involved in. All the wasting of his father's substance that he had done. He did not want to accept this man as his brother. He had probably disowned him. Didn't want to have anything to do with it. And if they accept a boy like that in the house, I'm not even going in. Stayed outside. To the extent that the father came out and tried to entreat and reason with him. We don't read that the older brother ever changed his mind. Do you think that elder son was fit to be a father? What kind of family would a man like that raise? It's no wonder that there's a lot of people out there that are injured in the spirit, are emotionally damaged. I'd like to change the subject just a little bit here and talk about affirmation. Affirmation is emotional support or encouragement that we can give to our children. In the culture that we live in, there's a lot of cell phones being used. And I'm made to think of little babies with pacifiers. And I'm not looking at anyone in this church house, pointing my finger at anyone. It's a culture we live in. People are so addicted to their cell phones, kind of like a child with a pacifier. There are many young people today who are involved in taking selfies and posting them online. They change their Facebook profile pictures, and then they have to look and check their cell phones, and they check them again to see how many people have liked. How many likes did I get? How many comments came in? You see, this young generation of people are longing for affirmation, and they're not getting it. But some of them are getting it on their cell phones. They should be getting it from us parents, grandparents, great-grandparents. Even Jesus himself was given affirmation by his Father. When Jesus was baptized, his Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, God said, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Something that I, as a father, have come short in, giving affirmation to my children as I should. And wives, give affirmation to your husbands. They need that as well. And husbands, your wives need affirmation again and again. Not just one time and that's it. We need to do it every day. Give each other affirmation. Time is going on. I would still like to read an account in First Kings. Things that will help us to be a successful father in our home, and I think a key thing that will help us as fathers to be successful fathers in our home is if we can have a mentality that King Solomon had. I would like to read 1 Kings 3, verse 5. Through 10, and then we'll maybe go further. We'll see. 1 Kings chapter 3, starting in verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. We can read on following there that God endowed Solomon with wisdom far above and beyond what any other man ever had before or since, outside of God himself and Jesus Christ his Son, his Holy Spirit. They were the giver of the wisdom that Solomon had. Shortly after this account right here, Solomon was in his palace or wherever he did his judging. And two harlots were brought in. If you want to read this account that I'm talking about, it's on continuing in this chapter. For the sake of time, I won't read it, but just as I remember it. Two harlots were brought in to the judgment hall where Solomon sat, and with one baby. And the one harlot told King Solomon, when she was given opportunity, said that this living child that is here, this other lady and myself live alone in the house. And I had a baby, and 3 days later she had a baby. And I woke up in the morning, and the child that was with me was dead, and the child that belongs to me that is living was with the other lady. And what had happened, the one lady had accidentally lain on her child, and the child was dead. And during the night, she got up and took the dead child over and switched it with the live child with the real mother. Those little infants were like 3 days difference in age. And these ladies were brought into King Solomon to judge what to do. And King Solomon asked for a sword. And so they brought a sword, and he said, take the live child and divide it in half and give half to each woman. The one woman said, let it be so. We'll each take a half. The other woman said, no, let the other woman have it. And Solomon knew who the real mother was. You know, as fathers in our homes, we sometimes are confronted with different things we don't know how to go. But if God is with us, if we are connected to him, he will show us the way. And sometimes there are challenging things that happen. I recall in our home, my wife and I in bed sleeping. All of a sudden, I get an elbow in my ribs. Elmer, there's someone at the door. 2 o'clock at night. You think I could say, go check it out? It's my responsibility to go check it out. That happened on two different occasions, late at night. And on two different occasions, I ended up driving someone to town. There was another occasion when, I tell you what, there's times when scary things happen. And as a father in the home, it's our responsibility to check it out. And one morning, probably about 2:30 or 3 o'clock, I hear this, Elmer, and an elbow in my ribs, and I came from a dead sleep to wide awake. And if my body could have followed my spirit, I'd have probably landed 2 or 3 feet high. But there was someone in the house. She saw someone in the back porch with a flashlight. Well, I quickly get up, and she is coming right after me with a phone. She's going to call 911 if there's trouble. But it's our responsibility to check it out. And I went from room to room, couldn't find anything. And then I went on down into the basement and looked out. This happened when our children were still small. And then I saw the flashlight and our oldest daughter out in the chicken house. She, not wanting to wake us up, had woke up at night, thought she's going to go on and do the chickens because she couldn't sleep, and that way she wouldn't have to do them later in the morning. But talk about some anxious moments. You see, what you believe affects your behavior, affects your emotions. But we as husbands and fathers, it's our job to be leaders, providers in our homes. And the main thought that I would like to leave with us today, how we relate to those we're responsible over when they mess up, is big. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.